Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting Podcast. Visit our website at oalaig.org, where you will find several speaker feeds with over 800 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed on the Light a Candle Podcast are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Holly.
Hi, everyone. Holly, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Holly.
Hi. Thank you, Seppi, for asking me to lead, to speak tonight. It's always an honor and a privilege, believe me, to speak at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. It's an honor to be at a meeting and to share and to participate and to do service in this program. I will start by telling you I have a little allergy, so don't worry about me. I'm not going to croak up here. It's just a little rough. So let me tell you a little bit about what it was like, what happened and how I got here and what it's like now. So I grew up back east in a small town between Buffalo and Rochester. And I was, as you'll see in my pictures, the first couple of pictures are when I was really young. I was always overweight. There was never a time until I came into this program that I was anywhere near a normal weight or a healthy body weight at all. So I had always been that way. And growing up there took all of the negative comments, of course, all the way through high school that I could get. So it wasn't a fun time, you know. My parents split before anybody else's parents split. My parents split. My mother was mentally ill, and I was left with her. So I grew up with, and until I was in high school, I grew up with neglect. Just, I was on my own. I had to pay the utility bills. I had to go get groceries. I had to do... get myself to school. I had to get food ready for myself. And, you know, she just was not available for that. So, of course, I got really good at that. And that's to the detriment. When you come into program, I had to kind of reverse all of that and ask for help. But I did okay. God was behind me the whole time. And I didn't know that then. I never quite figured out how did I get from that, growing up like that, how did I get to college? I went to a four-year college. How did that even happen? I don't know. I went to a four-year college, and then I went back to my small town and worked with my dad in a diner. He owned a diner in town. I worked with my dad in the diner for, I think, was it 12? Yeah, it's about 8 years. And when I was 30, this is another series of events that happened. I met up with a friend. It wasn't even a friend in high school. This was somebody that wasn't even a friend to me, but she came and worked at the diner for a summer. And she really lived out here. She had moved out here and she worked in property management. So she invited me to come out to California for a vacation. I didn't even take a vacation. I can't tell you. I didn't go anywhere. I was working there in this diner and I had zero life. I hung out with my family. Zero life. So she invited me out here and I came. I stayed a week, and within 9 months I had stuff packed in my car, like, you know, piled on top like the Beverly Hillbillies. And I came out here and she said, come on out, give it a try. I'll try to help you get a job. I had to get out of there because I saw I was dying there. 280 pounds is what I kind of was that most of the time. I knew I was dying. My spirit was just down. And so I moved out here and I got a different job. It was weird the way it happened. But again, how did I get out here from there? I don't know. I got out here and I got a different type of job and I started a new career, which was kind of cool. A couple years later, somebody showed some interest. You know, I was lacking in people showing interest. So somebody showed an interest in me, was a drug addict. And I didn't really care. I did not care. Okay. So we started this relationship They were not available, but looking after me. So I started this relationship because somebody was paying attention to me, right? So immediately felt crazy. And the same friend told me to go to Al-Anon, which I did. Now here's the 50,000th God shot. I walked into the rooms of Al-Anon, and I went to a gay meeting in Silver Lake, and I got into that group, and it was the best thing I could have done. People, I just hung out with them. People greeted me. We hung out together. I got into service and I started to talk. That's when I started to talk. Okay, so I was about 36 or 37 at this point. I started to talk and actually be out in the world, and that was great. And what happened there was, of course, there were people that were in Overeaters Anonymous and in my little group, so I came with them. It didn't take, it wasn't a lightning bolt that I needed to come here. I just knew that I overheard them, and I came here with them. So that was all good, but I didn't really work the program here. I was in about 2.5 years. I didn't keep a sponsor. I asked several people, but I really didn't call them. I did figure out an abstinence, and it helped me tremendously because how I ate was I ate all the time. I ate 3 meals and then filled in all the rest of the time with meals, okay? It just was a continuous string. And the feeling was that in this job I was doing, it's not that, I'm not going to say it was contentious, it was a little bit dramatic, but contentious, but I'll tell you something, I had such a fear of people when I came here. I had such a fear of people that to get to the next stop in my work, I would have to go around to different places. To get to the next stop and to talk to the next person, I would have to drive through and get some food, okay, and eat, and then I could go on. This is what I had to do. I couldn't talk to that next person. You know, it was just too frightening for me. That's how I ate all the time, just continuous string. I stayed right about 280 pounds. If I had some kind of inkling of maybe I should lose weight, I'd do some diet of some kind, and I'd get down just a little bit, and then I would go right back up. So I never was successful in that at all. So when I got, and then I left for 8 years. How about that? Okay. So when I got into a relationship, about 4 years later, I got into a relationship that was, we were both available. Great. So I left program. That was, again, not a good idea. But life was okay. I was working my other program, doing okay. And we started a catering company out of the house, okay? That's also not recommended. So you got two things going on, okay? Food all the time, and now I'm overworking too. Again, I'm overworking. I find myself back in that place where I've got a full-time job, and I've now got a side job too. So that's how my life was. What happened was how to get me here this time is that in 2002, in the summer, I don't know exactly, one thing is my older sister came for a visit and it did not go well. It just didn't go well. And another couple things happened. And about August, I felt that spirit was dropping down below a comfortable level again. Like I felt, oh my God, I was literally going to work, you know, get up in the morning early, watch the news, go to work, eat. Now, I stayed just about with the 3 meals a day. That felt better to me than eating all the time because that was my first abstinence and no sugar, hardly. A little bit, okay? I lie sometimes. I'll tell you when I do, okay? But it was a little bit more manageable than the way I used to eat, but I still stayed right at 280 pounds. In that 8 years. But I got, you know, when I came back, I walked in with no hope of losing weight. That's not why I walked back in. I was used to being that weight. I can navigate that weight pretty darn well, okay? kind of. And I was used to being that. So when I walked in, it was because I couldn't stand myself anymore. I felt empty. I felt lost. And I felt like I had to, the thought came to me again, which is, of course, again, God, why don't you try that? Why don't you go and give it a good shot, give it a good try? Again, I was in my Al-Anon group, but I didn't work the steps. We just did it differently. I'm not sure why. I didn't know that until later when I thought, oh, that's odd. Anyway, why don't you work the step? Why don't you go and literally join the program and get a sponsor and work the steps? I had that much knowledge in my head. So August of 2002, I came back in the rooms. And I'm from the Valley, so I came back into the same meetings I used to go to. And I sat all the way down in the seat. And within a month, I got a sponsor. And it was somebody that was a 100-pounder, which was great. And I'd seen her a couple times in these meetings. And we started working. She put, I mean, literally, first day I called, she gave me a list of reading to do. I had all the books on the shelf. So she gave me a list of reading. I called her at 6 a.m. every day. I gave her what I was going to eat. I was this far from being honest. I did pretty well. One of my MOs during that 8 years was that I would pack my lunch and go to work, but I would add, all these stops I make, I would add something every time I could. I didn't eat it then, but I would add it to the lunch. So I had, you know, I go from a bag like this, and I'd have to have a suitcase going into the office where I was going to eat. But so I told her what I was going to eat. We went through the reading. We talked about it a little bit, just talked about life a little bit, 6 a.m. every morning, and that worked for me. I started to get some consistency. My abstinence was still the same, actually 3 meals a day and no sugar. And we identified a group of food that I couldn't eat anymore, which was fine. So that's that stuff I used to drive through to get so I can go to the next stop. Those foods had to go. So they went, and we were working the steps. I worked 1, 2, and 3 with her. And then we did the fourth step, and then I changed sponsors after that and went to a woman that was big book focused, basically. And I was with her for 5 years. We finished the steps, and we worked on relationship stuff, a lot of different things, which was great too. And I felt the first two sponsors I had, I felt like I was part of a family, which of course was very important for me to feel that way. Like I was in a group and I could call any of my OA sisters. And that was really important to me because of the lack of before. So I really thrived in that kind of environment. So now I've got 21 years of abstinence, 21 plus years of abstinence. I lost my weight in the first 2.5 years, basically. Jumped around a little bit too low. We had to figure out, now I'm with my second sponsor, thank God, because we figured out how to keep me just about at a healthy body weight, which I've been. It took a little while. That kind of thing, I had no clue what that would be. Like, why, how would I know what I was supposed to be at until I was there? I wouldn't. And then what goes along with that, and we figure it was okay. I went down too low and I didn't feel well. It was as simple as that. Like, oh, people started commenting. I didn't feel well, really. And we didn't know how to stop it. So worked on doing my food a little differently. We added some stuff until I just kind of leveled out at what I, and now it's what I am today, basically a little bit more, but it doesn't matter. So all the stuff that goes along with losing 140 pounds, I had to work through with my sponsors and all of people in the program. There's a lot to that, okay? I had to learn how to shop for clothes. I didn't know how to shop for clothes either, anyway. I mean, anybody that knows me just starts to laugh when I say that. Like, I just wear plaid, okay? But I had to learn to shop for clothes that fit. And that was a little bit of a, you know, I took my friend Deborah, she took me shopping one day. I was mortified at this. She took me, she goes, come on, after the Saturday morning meeting, she took me shopping, and for work clothes and for a bathing suit, I was mortified, okay? Mortified. But I was going to go to Hawaii, and I made the mistake of going by myself to find a bathing suit. I didn't even know what store to go into because I was probably, let's say I was almost at healthy body weight, but not quite. I didn't even know what store to go into. I went to Lane Bryant and I just circled. Like, oh, I don't shop here anymore. Like, I couldn't get that. But so she helped me a lot, and other people in the program helped me. For a long time, I took people with me when I really needed to get clothing, you know, for work or whatever. I took people with me, and that worked really well. The other part of is, let's see. I wanted to write this down because I read it this morning. I'm talking about the sobriety I have, okay? 3 meals a day, no sugar. I have a food plan today, and I had one in the beginning. It was just a little more general. I have a food plan today that keeps my head quiet, and it keeps me at a healthy body weight. That's my sobriety, okay? But there's so much more to this program. And little by little, I had to learn how to navigate. Now, remember how I was living? Now I had to start to live, okay? Now I'm starting to live. And I have to learn how to do a lot of things. And I mean basic things somewhat, because remember in the beginning, I wasn't taught anything. I'm surprised. I didn't even know how I got from point A to point B. But I had to learn how to do things. I learned some things, but then when I came into program, I learned how to do things for me. Not just life stuff, but life plus things. I learned how to be a good friend. The other three parts of sobriety, or the things that follow, are emotional, spiritual, and emotional, spiritual, and mental. Okay, the mental is okay. I do what I need to do. I don't have any extreme mental problems. I did long time ago, but I seem to have grown out of those. The emotional is kind of up and down, okay? Everything that comes up in my life, I have to either work the steps around whatever comes up there, and there were several times I did that, I worked the steps around them. There were several times. I did the steps maybe twice, and then I went through this relationship triangular thing, breakup, and I had to work the steps around that. I had to make a decision whether I was going to leave this relationship that I was in. Okay, so I worked the steps. I didn't work with my sponsor so much on that. I worked with 2 or 3 women in the program outside of that because my sponsor was a little too close to that, okay? And at some point right after that, I had to change sponsors. That didn't work anymore. But I worked the steps to make that big, that's a big decision, to leave a long-term relationship. And I worked the steps before I made that decision. I've also worked the steps a few times on work issues and my boss. I'm sure I've shared about that, and I've done that rather recently too. And then I worked the steps around some body image stuff came up in the middle of that, and it came to light that, well, it didn't come to light. I knew it. I just let it out. You know, I told somebody. That's part of the thing. You just tell somebody what happened. I had a real problem with my hands, with picking on my cuticles. I mean, to the point where I thought my thumbs would get infected. That's how bad, and I'd probably done that for 15 years, okay? I don't know when it started, but it started. So I told my sponsor, one day I just said, do you know what? Something's really bothering me. My thumbs are a mess. I've been picking on my cuticles. She goes, oh yeah, I did that. Why should I wait so long? I don't know. But what we did was we first got a plan, okay, plan of action, which is what I'm real proponent of plan of action. I started with manicure pedicure every 3 weeks. The nice part is it's I found a woman in program, so we have a meeting. It's really good. I started that plan of action, Then I had to identify, why was I doing that? Well, I have anxiety. I'm sure, that's pretty normal thing, but I have anxiety, so that was what was causing it. But also, when I worked the steps through, what I came to with my sponsor's help is that I have body image issues, and that comes from imperfections. I'm noticing imperfections in my body, and I'm trying to fix them by doing that, evening things out, like all that stuff, because I realized that when I have an insect bite or something, and I was doing the same thing. So I worked the steps through on that, and I've basically stopped doing all that. It stopped pretty quickly, and I still keep the plan of action going on that. I put lotion every day. That's on my make bed, floss, lotion. On my 10-step, I just check those, and I do them literally every single day. I was also sick of lying to the dentist when he asked if you floss, right? He's looking in your mouth and you're saying, right? So those things are the emotional part that I needed to let go of. I would lie, it would just fly out. Not big things, little things. And being sober in this program has helped me not do that anymore. It's just like one thing at a time gets corrected. One thing at a time, my life gets better and better and better. Could you give me a reading on time? How many? Okay, sorry, excuse me. So let me tell you what's going on today. And it's a good example of how I use the program and how I don't sometimes. But what happened is, in my work, I've had several bad things happen at work. I wish they hadn't, but they did. Okay, so I've had to deal with it. One, we had a shooting. This was years ago. We had a shooting that took me. I stayed abstinent. There was so much around that, and I really had to work hard around that. I really had to work hard to walk through that. I felt everything. Okay, remember, I'm not eating anymore. I'm not shoving that down. So I worked around. The program really helped me with that. And I had to go to outside help and everything. But sometimes in my work, bad things happen, And I haven't caused anything yet, but it just does. And it really affects me. So I was working 6 days a week for years, all the way through COVID. But for a chunk of years before that, working 6 days a week at this job, and went through COVID like that. Of course, there was nothing else to do. I was kind of glad I could go into my office and be alone, because if I had been sitting at home, probably would have been, I don't think I would have liked that. But I was able to go in and block my office off, and it was fine. But there's that overworking again. And then what happened was, I had to work. I've had a lot of issues also with my boss, but I worked the steps through that, and pretty much he sits over here, and I just take directions from him. He doesn't bother me so much anymore. But what happened with the work is I made the decision after working the steps through one more time with my sponsor that I needed to make a big change. I went from 6 days down to 5 days. Number one, that was the first one, down to 5 days. That was uncomfortable to do that. Remember, I'm the only one there, so nobody's picking up that work. I just had to go down to 5 days. Then I didn't know quite what to do next, so I quit, right? I resigned my position, and what I said to my boss was, I'm going to resign. This was after COVID. I'm going to resign, but I will stay here for as long as you need, 6 months, whatever. I will train the next person. I will catch up. All of the stuff that we've never had a chance to do, I will do that. I'll clean the storeroom out. I'll clean out your dad's office. All the original files was in his dad's office, and his dad passed away, and he was sick for a long time. So I'll clean out Tom's office. I'll do that, and then I'll go. I'll go whenever we're done, okay? So I offered that to my boss. And then, so first he tried to pimp me out with money. He wanted, you know, he offered me a quite a big bonus to stay. I just said no. So what we did was he hired me back at 3 days a week. So I work now 3 days a week. And originally it was just the same amount of work in 3 days a week, but now it's shifted to another company. So that's working a little bit better. But I don't know. See, I don't. I'm going to keep on going with the same thing until I'm in so much pain that I have to change something. I just do that. I've done that all my life. I think it's part of this disease, is not noticing or not taking care of myself. But that was actually a great decision. And I can work there for a while at 3 days a week. It actually works good. You wouldn't believe the stuff that was, though, in my home. My home stuff had gotten so stagnant and far behind that I had list upon list that I've been working on since this happened about a year and a half ago. And I've been working on this stuff at home to get it cleared out. I did my estate planning. I hadn't done estate plan. I hadn't done anything. Did all my estate planning. I do my own gardening now, which I love. And I did things that people kind of do normally. I caught them up, which feels great. Like, I feel like a normal person now. However, when something bad happens at work, I'll go right back, right? So what happened was my office was broken into over the last weekend by someone who we think has been in the building, has broken into our roof storage. And I think it was not personal to me, but I think it was, they meant to get into my office. What that did was it created a whole bunch of extra work. Plus, I feel unsafe. Okay, now I don't feel safe. The building is a big building. I don't feel safe, really. I used to work on the weekend every Saturday, but there was a lot of people there. And then after COVID, the people didn't work so much, so I stopped working too. Like, I'm not going to be in there on a Saturday if there's not a bunch of people. But so this morning, I was okay all week. It was a lot of work, and I had yesterday off. And this morning, I got afraid again because it was Saturday. Like, there's no logic to that. But I went to my meeting, and I felt fear. So what I did with that was, number one, somebody called me, so I get one of my regular fellows, and I told him I was afraid. I said, I'm afraid of nothing. I'm not going into the office, but I felt fear. So I took the whole day 10 minutes at a time. I do the next thing 10 minutes, the next thing 10 minutes. I did cooking. I did my office at home, which is a little bit of a mess, okay? I'm cleaning it. I did that. I did a lot of things today for me. And that 10 minutes at a time, being in the quiet, helped work that through. It's just a matter of working it through for me. It's got to wash its way out. So that's kind of how I use the program. So that brings you very current, like up to today. And I think I'm going to stop there and take questions. Yes.
Thank you so much for your share. I really, really appreciate it. One of my questions is, do you remember where you were in the steps when things started to make sense and you like broke, if there was a moment where you broke open? Do you remember a clarity or which step you were on when things just started to fall into place?
Yes. Well, here's what I can tell you. It was the second time through the steps. It wasn't the first time. The first time was kind of like when they say peeling an onion. The first layer came off. I did steps. I made financial amends. Those, not that those were easy, but they were easy. They were. I used to steal a lot of stuff, right? Especially back east. I stole all my food. I didn't have any money, right? So I stole all my food. And I made those financial amends, but the second time through the steps with the different sponsor really started to make sense and make a difference. I had some extra things to add onto the fourth step, which I did. One of the things was this first relationship that I was in, and then the second thing, then we went through six and seven. And once I got through six and seven the second time, I started to understand it. We went through it before, but I really didn't get it. I could tell you what a defect is, For instance, triangular conversations. I had to stop doing that. That was one of my, something that I, that was underlying a lot of things. The other thing was I had a real issue with loaning people money. Okay? And that's the savior part. But I would treat them differently after I loaned them money if they didn't pay me back right away. So, thank you. So, these are the things that came up a little bit later, is that it are some of the character defects that kind of underlie, and but they keep coming up. Once I started doing a 10-step at night and sending it to my sponsor along with my food for the next day, I do that every night, basically every night, unless I'm out really late, which rarely happens. Then those items on that 10-step, if they start repeating day after day after day, we talk about it during my sponsor call. Like that's something we need to talk about when something keeps on coming up. And that's usually because it's one of those character defects flaring up. They come and go. The character defects, in my opinion, they never go away. I'm always going to have that trait. Okay? And if I don't practice it, it gets so much better. Like I know it's there, but I don't. Like I don't look at people anymore that are not available. I don't look at people that aren't available. I don't look at people who aren't gay. If I want to go into a relationship, I don't walk toward things that aren't the right thing for me. That was a lot of work. So thanks.
I have another question.
Okay. Oh, let's go with, and then we'll go back.
Okay. Thank you so
Be
much.
Be fair.
Thank you. You spoke before about having a fear of people, and that left. Could you talk more about how that changed and what the process was for you about losing your fear of people?
I think yes. We're talking about the fear of people going away. Well, does it ever really go? That's one of those things that's kind of underlying. But I really suffered from that. And I think it was because people used to fire the comments to me like you wouldn't believe. So, yeah, I'm going to fear people. They're calling me fat. They're calling me every name in the book. I'm gonna be afraid of people. I also had an issue with a couple times older people. There's no filter. And that's what I have a problem with, people with no filter. They just say whatever they think. And I think, oh, my God, you know. But real things like work stuff, like really coming on to somebody and saying, we need to correct this situation, or when are you going to pay your rent, or whatever. Can you give me a timeline on when you're going to, things like that, I really had trouble doing, and it just kind of worked its way out. I grew some courage, yes, and I stand up straight now. Little bit of experience that nobody has ever hurt me at work, and I've developed a way of talking to people that makes them so much more comfortable. And that's just maturity and working program and being with people like, good people like you. We can have discussions. That's what it comes from, I think, just generically.
Thank you.
Not generically, organically. I used the wrong word. Okay. Yes. Keep going.
Hi. Thank you for your share. You mentioned struggling with body image.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if you could talk about that and what in program helped that.
Well, the physical things, the first things, again, were losing 140 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of things happen inside, like in the body. Wow. Again, I had to learn how to use undergarments to keep everything together. I felt I was so uncomfortable in work clothes for a long time because I wasn't wearing the right thing. My sponsor was all at that time was a 100-pounder, and she was able to help me. My next two sponsors were 100-pounders, and they were able to help me with. And originally, I had to wear one of those tight thing. What are they called? Tight things
Girl.
Like the. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. But then it got to be loose. Like, I just wear a tank top now. So it got better. Because I didn't feel right. I felt conspicuous and bumpy, everything. And that, again, that's just one of those things that actually goes away. Like, I wear a tank top now. And I don't think there's a day I go without a tank top. It's always on. Of course, right now I have 4 or 5 layers on because it's cold. But I said to myself, why did I dress up again? Because I got, like, my jacket on. But anyway, and I dress for meetings. That's the other thing. I dress as I've been taught for meetings. The other part was my fingers, and that is I'm trying to get rid of, I'm feeling imperfections, and I want to get rid of them, and now I don't need to do that. Like, I'll see, oh, it's just a bug bite, just leave it. And I have to really work to leave that alone. I put a Band-Aid sometimes. So, okay. Did you have another question?
I do.
Yeah.
So, with the other program, did you ever find that one affected the other, or, I don't know, there's really a big difference in working the steps? Maybe that's not an appropriate question, mm-hmm. but... I'm just trying to understand.
No, it's a great question because a lot of us are in 2 programs or 3 sometimes. But, how does it work working the steps when you're in more than one program? I have sponsees that are in other programs. I'll tell you what happened with me. So I worked the steps in this program a few times, and then I decided to leave my relationship. What happened was, then I went back to Al-Anon. Okay, that whole disease came flaring up at that point. I was doing great until I wasn't. So that came flaring up. So what happened was, I got a new sponsor in this program, and I got an Al-Anon sponsor. Okay, and I worked the steps in both programs simultaneously, separate, all the way through. It was fine. I think they talked to each. I kept on accusing them of talking to each other. They never did. They only met once. But it when we have other stuff, we have to deal with it. Yeah. So it's okay. We can work them separate, but at the same time. Okay. Anybody else have a question? Yes.
Thank you so much, Holly. Yep. Can you talk about how you first got involved in the fellowship aspect of the program and then what it looks like today for you?
Yes, that's a good question. I my first sponsor, thank God for her. I didn't know this when I asked her to be my sponsor. So I was calling her, and about a little ways into, a couple months in, I didn't realize she was on our inner group board, and she was a service junkie. I didn't know that because I didn't know her, you know. So anyway, she put me right into service at a fundraiser. She said, you're going to show up at this lady's house on this time. We're going to make baskets for a fundraiser. I'm like, okay. Baskets. I did it. I showed up for these committee meetings, and I got 12 new fellows right there. And I just did what she said, and that's how I got to open up. And the other part was, I got it when we were working the steps through the first time. I was in it's called APOR, but it's a specified writing through the big book. And there was about 6 of us or 7 of us doing our 4 step at the same time. It just happened that way. So we'd meet up and at somebody's house, we'd have dinner, we'd write for an hour. We did things like that. We'd go out to fellowship after a meeting and just sit and talk. That's how I was able to open up and start talking. So it was great. Service is great. Even setting up chairs is great at your meeting. Set up the chair. Come early, set up the chairs. That's where you get to talk to people. So, anybody else? Yes. Well, I get up really early, and I do my reading and writing because it doesn't get done if I don't. I have to do it really early. Before sponsee calls, they start at 6, okay? So I've got different days, different people calling. So I get that all done. I eat breakfast at 6:30, and then I take my lunch to work, eat that, and then dinner is when I get home at 6:30. And then at night when I do my 10th step, I write out my food for the next day and send it to my sponsor. that's what it really, 3 meals a day, certain amount of calories keep me right where I am. And of course, doing that for many, many years, it's very easy. It's just all pretty normal stuff, pretty regular food. I can eat out if I want to. I don't very often, and just because financial. But yeah, that's what it looks like. I don't vary from my bumpers of abstinence or my bumpers of food sobriety. I don't vary from that. I don't mess around. So, yeah. Yes?
Thanks so much. So, you notice sometimes you pick your cute beauties, mm-hmm. When you notice an imperfection. So, what do you do now instead?
I try not to. I have lotion on them so you don't get those. If I get a manicure and pedicure regularly, okay, and put lotion on every morning, it doesn't happen so much. And the manicurist, she's, oh, God bless her, she yells at me. Oh, my God. And I felt myself doing it this week because I was so anxious about that break-in. I was in fear. So I felt, and I thought, stop. So it's like that. Yeah. Okay, thank you.